to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Welcome to Beer Me on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Sarah Jane. I live, work, and love beer here in D.C. During my time in culinary school, I gained an appreciation for good beer and continued my studies in beer in grad school at NYU. Since then, I have been a beer director, beer bar general manager, and I get to continue to explore the beer world with all of you wonderful listeners. Every week, I will have a different guest from different parts of the beer world, from brewers, importers, bartenders, educators, to help us explore this fascinating and dynamic world. Whether you're new to beer or a seasoned professional, we will have something for you. So today, I have a very special guest. We have Matthew Pollard. He is the Allagash Field Sales Rep for Washington, D.C. and Maryland. Matthew, thank you so much for joining us.
Excited to be here.
So before we dive into all things Allagash, which is by far and away one of my favorite breweries here in the U.S., this past weekend was a really big beer weekend.
Absolutely. I'm still recovering.
So for those of you who don't know, Denizens had their fourth annual Make It Funky Wild Beer Festival, where brewers from all over brought their funky and wild beers. You had the Oyster Wars, and you were there for most of the day. You want to tell the listeners what that's all about?
Yeah, so unfortunately, I wasn't able to go to the Make It Funky at Denizens, but I was spending my day at the Oyster Wars at the Salt Line, which is a really fun account down by the ballpark. And it was basically a festival dedicated to lots of fun beers highlighted by Other Half, and a lot of oysters and really fun food from vendors like Chico and other vendors throughout the area. But with the Allagash tent, we got to pour some beers next to Oxbow. And so we were pouring three beers. One was Cool Ship Red, which is basically our homage to a lambic style beer blended with some raspberries. We had Cultive, which is basically a sour wheat beer that we age on spent peaches. So that was pretty popular. And then the Saison Gratis is the third beer that we poured. All pretty acidic beers, and this one was kind of the most mellow. It's cool in our cool ship, but not spontaneously fermented. Then we transfer it to an oak fooder and open ferment it. So.
And for people who maybe aren't familiar with cool ships, can you just give them a little rundown?
So it's basically like a shallow vessel. We have like a little shed in the back of our brewery. We installed it about 12 years ago. We were the first brewery in America to use this. It's a kind of a traditional Belgian style way of producing beer, where you kind of let the windows open at night, and the airborne wild yeast kind of inoculates our wort, our beer. And then
it's a magical little shed.
Very, very magical.
And then there was also Swansea Day.
Yes, that was a lot of fun. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to be there for the Swansea Day toast, but I got to go after Oyster Wars. So I was over there about 9:30 at night, and we had sent a keg of Cool Ship Resurgam, which is our most traditional sort of Cool Ship style beer, a blend of 1, 2, 3, and 3-year-old lambic beer. And fortunately, that was still on when I got to go there and got to drink that alongside the Swansea beer by Cantillon.
Yeah.
So the staff told me it was quite busy that day.
Oh, I'm sure. When Swansea Day was at Church Key and I was the general manager there, I remember those days being especially stressful.
Yeah. Everybody seemed worn out.
It's a great day though. Now for listeners who maybe aren't familiar with Swansea Day, so Cantillon was probably the most famous brewery out of Brussels, Belgium. They started to release this beer in 2008. And Swansea translates to like a sarcastic joke.
Oh.
So basically, the idea was they were doing non-traditional like spins on this very traditional beer. And so every year the Swansea beer is different. And, Jean Van Roy, the head brewer, noticed that people were buying the beers from the brewery for, you know, €6 and then selling it on eBay for like $80. And he, you know, was pretty upset with that. I mean, it still happens, but essentially he wanted to release the Swansea beer in kegs. So this turned into this really beautiful tradition where these kegs are released to, you know, all these different countries all over the world, all these different, you know, brew pubs and breweries. and it's all tapped at the same time. So, you know, 3 p.m. In D.C., which is, you know, 2 p.m. in Austin, which is, you know, so on and so forth. So it's this really beautiful community tradition. And every year it's different. So last year, what is the addition of the oolong tea?
Yep.
And this year, and here's the thing, Zwanzee Day is like my favorite beer thing that happens every year. And unfortunately, I was moving and it killed me that I couldn't be there. How was it this year?
The beer?
Yeah.
It was pretty mellow this year. I forget exactly what barrels they were aged in, but I think it was Amaro and a few other barrels. And it was super smooth and mellow. And yeah, it's definitely a really special beer.
Yeah, this one was definitely more kind of like wine inspired.
Absolutely.
But yes, I was devastated when I realized the dates that lined up with. But so big beer weekend.
Sure.
Next weekend will also be a fun beer weekend.
Yes.
Here in DC, October 6th. You all are doing a pretty exciting event at Rustico, from what I understand.
Yeah, we've got about, I don't know, 12 or 15 beers on draft, and it's a big seafood celebration. Fall is really beautiful in the D.C. area, and the Rustico in Boston has a nice patio, so we decided to pair up with them. And it's basically showcasing our Cool Ship Red, which is something we've only poured in this area a few times. And I think this is the first time we poured it in Virginia. So it's our traditional lambic blended with some raspberries and blends of some beers aged in oak. But it's basically that beer and a bunch of other Belgian style beers, paired with some lobster and crab, and just a big celebration.
Yeah. So definitely check that out.
Yeah.
And then the DC Homebrewers, club is having their 7th annual, barbecue fundraiser at 3 Stars on that Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it is a nice busy beer weekend. And then the weekend after that, we're going to briefly talk about this because
Sure. Next
week I have Greg Engert coming to talk about Snallygaster, but Snallygaster is probably the biggest beer festival in DC, and you're also participating in that as well.
Yeah. It's one of the biggest beer festivals, I think, on the East Coast.
Yeah.
So,
tickets are still available, I think. So
I think so. Yeah.
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 But we'll be going into that, a deep dive,
sure,
next week with Greg. So, Matthew, I want to talk a little bit about what you do.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For Allagash. So you are the field sales rep for DC and Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And much like when we had Chris Bannock on, who previously represented Avery, a brewing company, I'm curious what it is like for you to represent one brand as opposed to selling a host of brands.
It's a lot of fun. And I've done the other side of that and sold a lot of brands, and that's a lot of fun too. But, you know, I specifically work for Allagash, so I go around kind of doing a mixture of thanking accounts for carrying my beer and then trying to grow my business. And it's definitely, you know, not every account in the world wants to pour Allagash White, although I think they should. But
yeah.
Allagash White's about 91% of my business in this market. So a majority of what I'm trying to do is kind of grow that business and then diversify it a little bit. Try to build on some Allagash triple, you know, bottle placements and draft lines and a little bit of Curio as it gets a little cooler in DC.
So for our listeners who maybe may not be familiar, Allagash White is one of those beers that you kind of see everywhere, and people forget how amazing it is and
yeah,
how special it is. And it's not until you're deprived of it when
yeah,
you realize, oh, I definitely took this for granted. So can you tell people a little bit about why this specific beer is pretty important to the craft beer world?
Sure. I mean, it's just a unique story with the owner of Allagash Brewing Company, Rob Todd, really deciding when he was 25 or 26 that he wanted to make beer for the rest of his life. And he definitely wanted to try to create something that nobody else in America was making at the time. And so he wanted to focus on a Belgian-style wit beer. And that's when Allagash White, the idea of that, was created. It was really a 1-to-2-man operation from day one with him and, you know, an assistant. But over time, the first 10 years, it was really hard to grow that business. It was hard to really get people to decide to put it on a cloudy beer, basically. People would ask him, why is this beer cloudy? Why is it? It's not going to sell. So it wasn't really until 2004 and 2005 until the beer really took off. But I think just the story of forming that beer and focusing on that and giving us an identity is really what's so special about the beer. It's definitely a beer that gets people into craft beer and a beer that keeps people in it.
It's a gateway drug.
It's a gateway drug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a nice way to kind of ease into the craft beer mm-hmm, world for sure. And there will be Allagash White in cans, from what I understand.
Yes, we're going to be releasing them in a limited market next year. Kind of, you know, I guess there was an article that came out a few weeks ago. It's going to be kind of focused on a New England footprint, and then we'll kind of go from there. I really want to get Allagash White Cans in my market, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, we move, you know, at a pretty normal pace. We're owned by one person, so it's definitely something that we're cautious about right now in terms of how quickly we expand. So
nice. So what is it, probably not last year but the year before, I went on an exciting journey to Portland, Maine.
And
I got to see the Allagash Brewery, and I have to tell you, it was one of the best brewery tours I have ever been on. Not only was it very thoughtful in what we saw and how things were explained, but you got to see, you know, the little character and the little culture that you had throughout the brewery. For example, there's a large space where there's like a almost like a NASCAR looking jacket hanging.
Oh yeah.
And so every year you have the Pinewood Derby races. I think it's among different departments,
yeah,
right?
It's during our holiday party basically in February. So I got to participate that in this past year, and there's an award for like the best car in terms of design and the fastest car. So it's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those things are important to kind of build culture. What are some other things that you all do to kind of encourage that, you know, team mentality?
Sure. Yeah. Innovation is a big part of our core values, and that's kind of seen all throughout the brewery, but most specifically recently with our pilot system. Basically anybody at the brewery can go on our internet and pitch an idea with sort of a recipe idea and work with our brewmaster to brew something on a small scale that gets shared in kind of our break room. And then if people like it enough in the break room, it moves into a larger batch to kind of try out in the tasting room, and then from there it could turn into a national release. So this year the Two Lights has probably been the most successful, something that started on our pilot system by our sales assistant Mariah, and then that was last year. And then this year we decided it was something really fun and it had a really good story. Basically a wine beer inspired beer made with Sauvignon Blanc grape must lagered, and then champagne yeast in secondary. So it's kind of cool that not just a brewer can participate in the production of our beers, basically.
Yeah, and I mean that was a beer launched all over the area, and that was, you know, started by it can be anybody in the in the brewery.
Maybe me one day.
Yeah. What are, and do you homebrew or do you brew?
I have before. It's very time consuming, so
for sure.
I think if I were to brew again just at home, I would probably do the malt extract. I live in a one bedroom apartment, so it's not very spacious.
That's fair. I get that. And I gotta ask, so you have beer in your break room, you said, or?
Yeah, at the brewery. I'm not at the break room every week, but it, you know, there's just a couple taps at the break room for people to go get beer at the end of their shift.
That sounds really lovely.
It's very fun. Yeah.
And you were just up in Portland, right?
Oh yeah, for a week. It was horrible. Just kidding. Yeah, the food culture there is growing, and obviously it's really cool to go up there a couple times a year and get to kind of put faces to all the people I don't get to see every day.
Yeah, and it's amazing how much that city has grown. I used to go up every year when I was a kid, as my family was on our way to Canada, and now going back as an adult, there are so many amazing restaurants, like Duck Fat. Right?
That's, Duck Fat is
yeah,
there.
Duck Fat's yep. amazing. Yep. They have those phenomenal sandwiches. And the great thing is you're so spoiled with that whole area and craft beer. There's all these. So anywhere you go, any restaurant that has like, oh, we've got a local, you know, a few local tap lines, it's like Allagash, Oxbow. I mean, it's.
And it's amazing because you don't just see one Allagash draft line. You see two or three at some places, which is really cool.
Yeah. What are some restaurants that you got to try while you were up there?
Scales is a nice restaurant in the Old Port that I really like. Just a waterfront restaurant with a lot of good fresh seafood.
Mm-hmm.
Izakaya Minato is a new sort of small Japanese izakaya right across the street from the Oxbow Blending and Bottling Facility. Just very authentic, small plates. And just, that was really fun. Kind of new places every time. So I still haven't been to the Drifter's Wife, but everybody tells me to go there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, on this segment of Travel Portland. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on Full Service Radio, Beer Me.
Bit of interstitial music here, courtesy of Space Disease. It is called Aluminum Lake. We'll be right back on Beer Me.
Welcome back to Beer Me, recording live at the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C. on Full Service Radio. Today, I'm sitting down with Matthew Pollard. He is the Allagash Field Sales Rep for Washington, D.C. and Maryland. We just had a fun little segment, basically encouraging all of you to go to Portland, Maine and drink beer and eat food.
Go visit Allagash Brewing Company.
Go visit Allagash Brewing Company. Specifically, yeah, the actual experience of seeing the brewery is really fantastic. Now, okay, I'm not trying to give away anything. I don't know if they do this for everybody, but we had the cool experience of drinking Curio in the Curio room.
Yes, it's a very fun room to be in.
That's so
I don't
cool.
think they do that for everybody, but okay, I've definitely right. gotten to do that myself.
I don't mean to ruin anything or like put Allagash.
But no,
on
everybody does
there.
See the Curio room. I don't know if people everybody gets to drink in the Curio room though.
That was all right. I don't want to give anything away, but that was and it's really cool to see. And for our listeners who aren't familiar, can you tell them a little bit about what Curio is?
Sure. Yeah, it's the first barrel aged beer we ever made. It's basically our triple, so a stronger golden ale aged in freshly emptied Jim Beam barrels for about 8 weeks. And then we cut it with a little bit of fresh triple, so it's just a very unique Belgian style beer aged in bourbon barrels. It's golden, so you think of a barrel-aged beer, you think of like a robust imperial stout. In this case, it's something we've been making for 15 years and just it has a little bit of a cult following. I think, you know, D.C. is a bourbon town and a lot of other metropolitan areas, people are getting more involved with bourbon, so it's been growing over time. The room's actually gotten a lot bigger in the past few years because we just started making it in 12-ounce four-packs.
Yeah, and it's it goes down like just a smidgen too easy.
You know a little bit, yeah. It does not taste 11% at all. Like,
I can drink four of these.
Yeah.
No, you cannot. But yeah, it's a really cool experience. And, you know, when you're actually in the tasting room, you know, there's all these different beers to try. And that whole outdoor area is really beautiful. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The food trucks there are awesome.
The food trucks are amazing.
Yeah.
Go visit. Yeah. Go visit Portland. You can get there
really
easily. There's direct flights.
Yeah. And actually, that tasting room department is now the largest department at the brewery. So it's a big part of our business for sure.
Really?
Well, so many people are visiting Allagash right now. And it just caused us to be able to hire more people to work for Allagash, which is really cool.
Yeah, that is awesome. And, you know, I imagine Allagash is a larger brewery. So I imagine that working for them is nice.
Yeah, definitely a larger brewery, but still a very small business. So,
yeah.
It's a... Definitely lots of good perks with the brewery for sure.
And from what I understand, you have a new beer coming out soon.
Sure. Yeah. We have a few more beers left over in our limited release calendar for the year. This one coming out in November is called Pictavia. So it's actually named after the original name for Scotland. It is a Belgian style Scotch beer. So think Scotch Silly by Brasserie de Silly. Along that style, very malt forward, kind of stronger Belgian style Scotch ale, and it's aged in a Glenmorangie Quinta Reuben barrels. We don't have that on the label. I don't think we're allowed to put that on the label, but that's what they're aged in.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it's 9 or 10%. I've not tried it yet, but I just think the label looks really spot on, and it sounds delicious to be drinking in November in my market.
Yeah. Plus, I feel like that beer, as well as a Curio, is one of those or these beers that would be fantastic with like Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much easy to pair with everything.
Yeah. And they're non-wild beers. You know, a lot of our barrel-aged beers now are sour and acidic, and it's nice to be able to kind of showcase some other non-wild barrel-aged beers.
Yeah. So you are, you live here in DC then?
Yes.
Okay. So you're a little remote from the mothership.
Very remote.
Very remote from the mothership. But you've been, are you from this area? Do you live in this area?
I've lived in DC for about 13 years.
Okay.
Yep. Originally from West Virginia, Southern West Virginia, which is actually a little similar to Maine in terms of the lifestyle, I guess.
Yeah.
Rural and easygoing.
Wild and wonderful.
Wild. Yeah, that too.
So you have seen the DC beer scene morph a lot. Have you always been in beer?
I guess I've sort of, I haven't always been in beer, mm-hmm. but since 2007, I've been in beer in some aspect. I got my start in DC at Pizzeria Paradiso.
Okay.
And the Georgetown location, and kind of did that for a few years when I was in college at Georgetown. Finished college, worked as a paralegal, litigation clerk, as I guess what it was called, but did that for about 2 years. Didn't really make me happy. It wasn't really what I wanted to do. So I went back and worked in restaurants. Worked with Tim Liu at Scion for a little bit, and then back to Pizzeria Paradiso for a few years, and worked my way up until I decided to leave the restaurant industry to go work for a distributor for a few years. And I've been with Allagash now for about a year and a half, and it's definitely my dream job for sure. So
what is that shift like? And for listeners who don't know, Pizza Paradiso is sure. a fantastic restaurant group. They have 3 restaurants now.
Four now. And a fifth coming.
Really, really amazing food, but mm-hmm. a phenomenal beer list. And a lot of people have kind of worked through the ranks in their beer program and Absolutely. Have gone on to do really amazing yep. things.
There's two people that used to work in the bar program at Pizzeria Paradiso that are now at Oxbow Brewing Company. Mm-hmm. And then I guess Sam Fitz was at Pizzeria Paradiso for a bit too, and he's got his own cidery here in DC, Entre. Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
So, and definitely check out the episode with Sam. He did a fantastic job. So what is that shift like when you are shifting from restaurants to beer distribution? It's definitely a different lifestyle sure. for sure, but you know, your face lit up when you said this is a dream job. So what does that look like?
At Allagash, I definitely work a lot more than I did when I was at the restaurant. Mm-hmm. But I think the hours are a lot better, and it's just fun to be able to go around from various restaurant groups and work on trying to grow our small business, basically. You know, I feel like Allagash is 23 years old now, but we operate kind of like a startup, where it's really just me in Maryland and DC, and it's my role to work with our distributors to really expand our presence in this market and continue to grow.
And have you noticed that, you know, when you're working with distributors, that people have kind of upped their game, essentially? You've noticed that reps, you know, are really, really knowledgeable. You don't have to do as much training, or, you know, what has your experience been with that?
It's definitely important to get in front of distributors as much as you can. Working mm-hmm. with a group of 20 or 30 people that are basically responsible for keying in your orders and helping you grow your business, and kind of a lot of bigger accounts that we've gotten have started with that distributor relationship, and then I've kind of latched onto it. So yeah, they definitely distributorships are a big part of how, you know, Allagash has grown over the years. So it's important to stay on top of mind, especially with the amount of breweries that are, you know, there's 7,000 breweries in the US now. It gets easy to get lost within a portfolio for sure.
And do you find that you are coming up against a lot of local breweries as far as, you know, dedicated tap lines or anything like that?
I mean, it's definitely a thing. Mm-hmm.
Because craft beer sure. in DC, all of a sudden, we have so many breweries, and they're yeah. all producing really great beer.
Absolutely.
And it's growing.
Yeah.
So how is that competing, you know, in a non-local sense?
I mean, I'd rather just see a local producer on draft than something like a Shock Top or a Blue Moon for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the scene in the DC area, the restaurants have expanded, and you know, you used to see just 6 draft lines at a restaurant. Now you'll see 12 to 16. So it's definitely more colorful in DC. I wouldn't call it competition though.
Okay.
I think, you know, a lot of people still have respect for Allagash Brewing Company in my market, and it definitely resonates in a city where it's very transient. People are from all over the place. You know, New Jersey is a really big market for us. There's a lot of people that come from New Jersey that live in DC now.
Mm-hmm.
Allagash definitely resonates kind of wherever in my market. So I hope that answered your question.
No, for sure. Definitely. And so I'm curious, I'm asking you two little superficial questions here, but what is your favorite Allagash beer?
Oh my goodness. Right now, Curio.
Yeah. You drink it seasonally.
It's October 1st. It's not humid and sticky in DC right now. So right now I'd say Curio is my favorite beer. I drink Allagash White the most. I've really been enjoying revisiting Saison a lot right now. It's been doing pretty well for us in this market, and I think it's just got this nice sharp finish to it.
That's the thing I always forget about Allagash Saison.
Yeah.
It is such a great representation of the style, I feel like.
Sure.
It's simple. So definitely check that out if you all are out and about.
Yeah.
And now, what is your favorite non-Allagash beer?
Oh boy. So
are you allowed to answer that question?
Yeah, I can actually. Yeah, I don't want to say, I guess, what my favorite non-Allagash beer to drink is, but one that I enjoy to drink is, I'm not really a big IPA drinker.
Mm-hmm.
But Bell's Too Hard, and when I see that on draft somewhere and I'm not able to drink my own beer,
yeah,
I seek out Bell's Too Hard. So
that is
I'd say that's my favorite non-Allagash, or the one I enjoy to drink the most.
That is a staff favorite. I will say it at Church Key.
Yeah.
The staff is fueled by Bell's Too Hard and Schlafly Kolsch.
Okay.
And
I prefer the Gaffel Kolsch. I live right near Bread Soda, and they've got the Gaffel Kolsch on draft.
Ah, I gotcha.
I think Schlafly Kolsch was inspired a little bit by that one.
They use the Gaffel yeast.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. So I guess I like both. Yeah.
Technically, you're not allowed to call it a Kolsch if it's outside of Cologne,
no.
Germany.
Yeah.
But they use Gaffel yeast, so I feel like they can kind of get away with it.
For sure.
You know? Well, excellent. So definitely for listeners, check out the Allagash Seafood Social at Rustico. Oh, and I'm sorry, let's clarify, which Rustico?
The one in Ballston.
The one in Ballston. Mm-hmm. Very, very easy to get to. Very good. Metro accessible.
Nice patio outside. I think you can bring your dog there. I don't know either.
I don't know. You got to double check that one. I'm pretty sure. I mean, it's Virginia and everyone's pretty attached to their dogs. So, and also next weekend, check out the DC Homebrewers 7th Annual Barbecue Fundraiser at 3 Stars. Tickets are, I think, $10 or $12, so really, really inexpensive, and you're going to have access to some really fun home brews. Well, Matthew, thank you so much for coming by on this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Monday
this was fun.
Morning, yeah, and definitely check out the new Allagash releases, and you know, let's pray for the Allagash white cans to come.
Oh yeah,
to come down soon.
5 years later, no.
Well, they'll come.
They'll come at some point. So.
Nice. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
This has been Beer Me on Full Service Radio, recorded live from the Lion Hotel. Cheers.